I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. A single image can change the way you see a story in the news. Take the photograph on the front page of the New York Times today. It's a picture of an emaciated child, curled in the fetal position, a victim of the famine gripping southern Somalia. We'll have more on the power of the image in this famine and in famines past. But first today, the United Nations warns the crisis in southern Somalia will spread unless there's a massive boost in aid. Washington has responded by easing up some of the sanctions related to the Somali Islamist group called al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab controls many of the famine-ravaged areas, and it's been blocking access to aid. U.S. officials say that they won't prosecute any aid group that makes good-faith efforts to deliver food, even if it means dealing with al-Shabaab. The BBC's Andrew Harding has been visiting camps around the capital, Mogadishu. First off, how hard is it to find the stations where people are going, these aid camps?
There are camps strewn across the whole of Mogadishu in the rubble of this city that's been consumed by war for so many years. The newest camps, the latest arrivals from the famine zones, are pretty easy to find. There are several of them, including some with tens of thousands of people in them. The conditions there are very grim. I've spent the last couple of days trying to tour the city. It's a difficult place to get around, but here is a sense of what I managed to see.
We're driving through the centre of Mogadishu here, not that far from the front lines. We've got seven or eight hired gunmen in the car in front of us, and the same again behind us for protection. Been to plenty of hot spots, but Mogadishu is in a category all of its own. And this is the kind of risk that aid workers, humanitarian operation, trying to reach the starving in Somalia have to negotiate. We're heading to a camp where displaced families have gathered, coming to Mogadishu in search of food. We've just arrived at this camp. We understand there are at least 30,000 people here. A lot of them queuing up for food, which is being served now in a makeshift kitchen in the corner. There are ruins everywhere around us from the long war here, and a lot more gunmen and soldiers.
My name is Bashir from Said. This is one of the kitchen sites that are being run by the regional administration.
Do you have enough food for these people?
Not at all, because, you know, the need is so huge, and it's very little quantity and amount of food that we can serve at the moment.
I'm walking now past all these tiny little tents that people have built with any scraps of plastic they can find. And this is where the most malnourished children are being brought. There's a woman on the floor here clutching two absolutely skeletal little twins. And beside her, another woman with a child who must be just a few months older. And also I can see all the bones, the ribs, sticking out of his chest. Most families here say they've escaped from al-Shabaab-controlled areas outside the city.
Why do you think al-Shabaab is blocking food aid?
They say because this is from infidels and we don't want it come into our areas.
And what do you think of that?
I never wanted them. I never wanted them, she said.
This is the sound of something practical being done to fight the famine, bags of maize being ground and sifted. Bashir Mahmoud runs a local aid organisation, Saeed, that gets food from the United Nations and, crucially, takes it across the front lines into al-Shabaab territory.
It's difficult somehow, but with us, because we are familiar within the community, and we use elders and the community members who have access directly to the Shabaab, and then they link between us and the programme. And the Shabaab is fine with that.
So you could actually deliver more if the international community gave you more?
Yeah.
That report is from the BBC's Andrew Harding. He was in a camp near Mogadishu, Somalia.